This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
The following episode of TOFOP is rated MA for mature audiences. It may contain sexual references, time travel references, allegations of bin misconduct, and mild coarse language. TOFOP advises that this episode is not suitable for anyone under the age of 15 or anyone who thinks a comedy conversation between two old mates sounds like a terrible idea for a show. Minors must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is John Deek speaking.
Everyone relax, this is TOFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson, and we are in the same room.
Yeah.
In a different part of the country. We have been in the same room, you know, a few times at the end of this year, which has been quite nice, but we are now in the same room in a different room.
And it feels like the last week before the holiday break because we're both in shorts. It's casual day.
It is.
We're extremely casual. It's warm. The windows are open. We're not just barefoot.
Not everyone's in the office anymore.
Yeah.
There's only like a few staff.
We're allowed to play to like up until our now. Music over the over the PA.
Yeah, exactly. You can have a beer in the office.
Yeah,
we're both definitely in holiday mode. Even the fact that the room we're recording in, because it's, 30-odd degrees where we are today, and there's no air conditioning in my office, and so it's even got that tropical sauna Bikram podcasting vibe to it.
Yeah. For some reason, I'm reminded of that 4X ad from the 80s where it was like four Australian cricketers on the beach, you know? They're like, they've played the test series, now they're just relaxing on the beach. I think it was like Alan Border and David Boone or something. I can feel a 4X coming on. That's what this feels like.
I can feel a 4X coming on.
Got a taste for it.
Just can't wait for it.
I can feel a 4X coming on.
Unpaid sponsorship. There you go. 4X. Send us some better beer.
Can you get Furphy to send us some beer?
You know what? What we wanted from you guys was a slab of 4X, but we'll settle for 12 Furphy. They used to do pretty good ads, 4X, actually.
That's the only one I can remember. What's another one?
They used to do like a series of like comical ads. Like it was a bunch of guys like, you know, going to a B&S and they had like the back of their ute was like, oh, yeah, drop bears.
Oh, no, that's Bundaberg rum.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it's a bear.
We're talking Queensland alcohols.
I don't remember the four blokes in a ute or the blokes in a ute.
I think it was blokes in a ute and like the back of the ute from my memory is like...
What were they doing in the back of that ute? Were they in the country? Because I know what goes on in the back of a ute in the country.
I think later on that night they might have been going to be doing some rooting in the back of the ute.
It'd be more interesting if they were doing it in the back of the ute.
Felt like they were going to a bachelor and spinster's ball or something like that. Right. And so
plenty of Vegemite in the Vegemite sandwiches in the back of that ute.
They've loaded up the back of the ute with like slabs of 4X.
Yeah.
And a couple of... I can't remember if it was a couple of wines or a couple of like brandies or like ports.
Yeah.
A couple of ports for the ladies.
Yeah.
And then they put the ports on top and the back of the ute collapses under the weight of the alcohol. And then it was something like, I think we overdid it with the port.
Alcoholism's funny.
Australia.
Misogyny and alcoholism. Our two greatest exports.
The good old days. I can feel the 4X coming on.
You don't see ads like that anymore, do you? Like totally just...
Totally sexist, misogynistic,
irresponsible, socially corrupt.
Encouraging irresponsible drinking. No, you don't as much these days, no.
Well, you've... Gruen's been going for what, 12 years?
12 years.
In 12 years, and just in that sample size, have you noticed a change?
Oh, absolutely. You know, incredible change. Like... The way that society has changed has obviously been reflected in the way that advertising has changed. And you see all the various iterations of that. So basically, when we started, there was still even an element of that, you know, that era still there. The old days in Australia where, you know, like a big M ad, somebody would be like, hey, we want to sell this flavored milk. Who's the people who, like, you know, buy flavored milk? Well, mostly young kids and tradies. Well, what do young kids and tradies both love? Boobs. So what we're going to do is we're going to get a woman to pour milk over her boobs. Done.
Done.
$1 million. You guys are geniuses. Make that ad. So when we first started, it was kind of getting flipped a little to men are dumb.
Yes, right?
You know, there
right.
was a reaction to
dads
that.
Dads can't do anything.
Every ad was about
some
dumb dad.
Oh, no, I put concrete in the washing machine because my wife's working and I've got to mind the kids for the day.
Wah, wah. Dad.
Oh, no, I'm making pizza with an iron because I don't know how to turn on the stove.
Dad. Yeah, every ad. Every ad was just like, dads can't do things.
Oh, I've drunk bleach because I don't know what mouthwash is. But I no longer have coronavirus. That's one plus.
Anyway, buy bleach.
Yeah, so when did the dads are dumb phase end?
I think quite recently. Like, you know, I don't
with
think...
With the rise of the men's right movement, the MRA.
Yeah, something. It's been a response to MRAs, yeah. Basically. A lot of incels in ads now. They're putting the cell in incel.
You incel out.
Oh, man.
So what's the current phase, would you say?
The current... A lot of hipster bashing.
Yeah.
Or hipster using or hipster bashing.
Who are they celebrating? Like, because you've talked about two groups that ads are bashing and daggy dads and hipsters, but who are they celebrating? Like, if it was in the Forex era, it was the blokey bloke, the, you know, bachelor and spinster country bloke. I have a theory because I see a lot of the same actors turn up in ads, and the ones who tend to be in like car ads or whatever, they have it's like a blue collar hero to them. Like, you don't see it's not like your Robert Downey Jr. type. It's more like your Bruce Willis type. And that seems to be the kind of guy who populates most ads. Not an idiot, but, you know, not extroverted, just a kind of dependable everyman.
I think it's the era of women being able to tell you stuff. So, like, you know, really informative, like, middle class women. So I'm thinking about like insurance ads.
Right.
I'm thinking about like those car ads where there's like a female spokesperson
right.
who just is answering everybody's questions.
Yeah.
So like, you know, a range of people will come in. It doesn't matter if it's like the middle class dad or it's the family.
They're like
Al
from
whatever.
Quantum Leap. They appear with just the right information at
the
right time.
They definitely could be some sort of like CGI. Hologram. Yeah, hologram AI sort of thing.
Helpful hologram.
Just an all-knowing, quite generic, completely like not hot but hot like woman.
Have you seen that TV show Upload on Amazon Prime?
No.
It's about it's a sci-fi comedy where when you die you get uploaded to heaven, and depending on what you can afford is your version of heaven. And so the story is told from the point of view of like the guy who's died and been uploaded to this, you know, paradise, and the IT operator, the girl who communicates with him, is kind of his angel. And that's exactly what happens. If he ever gets stuck or has a question, she just appears next to him and explains, you know, this is how you pay for things in the virtual world or whatever. It's quite good. I really like it. But they do play with the idea of just making yourself that little bit hotter, like, you know, when you appear in virtual reality. It's like they look normal when they're, you know, talking, when the girl's operating from the IT room. I mean, she's still hot because it's a TV show. Like, she's still beautiful by anyone's standard, but she's 10% hotter when she's in virtual reality.
Which I think is probably just going to be the appeal and how they're able to sell it to us. Is they're just like, we can make you look 10% hotter. And we'll be like,
I wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I was a baller. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat, I would call her. Or something. Is that how it goes?
So I don't have my phone next to me. Hang on.
What do you want me to look?
Who was that?
What? I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah, I wish I was a little bit taller. Honestly, I wish I was a baller.
Two okay. Live Crew or something. Or
here we go.
Belbiv DeVoe or...
By Old School Dub.
Never heard of them before.
Well, you might remember from their song, I Wish.
I remember
which
that.
Which is this song. Hey, this is radio station WSKEE. We're taking calls on the wish line, making all your wacky wishes come true. Hello. So this is the wish. I assume that's the setup.
Yeah.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
I wish I was a baller.
Yeah.
I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
Why did I think of a rabbit in a hat?
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
Yeah, why would you call a rabbit in a hat, Charlie? That doesn't make any sense.
So it didn't seem to make a lot of sense when you were saying it, but yeah. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat. I would call her. Now, are you mistaking a rabbit in a hat for a phone? Or are you talking about the rabbit?
I wish I had a pair of glasses because I just tried to make a call with a rabbit.
I think I've had a stroke. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
What?
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Because it rhymes?
Because it rhymes. And a cat. And a 6'4 Impala.
All right, we have to go back. So he wants a rabbit in a hat and a bat with a cat.
No, no, I added cat.
All right. But it's like Dr. Seuss.
Imperceptible from the actual lyrics of the song. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
All right. What does that mean?
Very political. Like he's talking Wuhan, wet markets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he'd kill the infected animal before it gets out.
He goes, a rabbit in a hat and a bat.
Yeah.
And a 6'4 Impala. What's a 6'4 Impala? Is that
it's
like
it's a hot car. Like
yeah. So that's, he's going to run over the rabbit, the hat and the bat and stop a global infection.
What is a rabbit in a hat like a metaphor for something? Like I'm going to have good luck. I wish I had good luck. Like I had magic or something.
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
Like when you know, when you say to someone, well, you put a rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah.
It's like the ability to kind of get out of any situation. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, okay. But and then what? And just a bat?
A bat. Like a cricket after bat. I get out of this situation, I'm going to bat off. A bat. I'm going to bat off.
Okay. And a 6'4 Impala.
Yeah.
I wish I was like, okay. Now he's going to say how tall he wishes he was. How tall do you think this person who wishes he was a little bit taller?
So it's a pop culture reference from the 90s, like a basketballer of some kind?
Well, he actually says the height.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying. Exact height.
6'3".
Right. So because the lyrics are, I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
The lyrics aren't, I wish I was considerably taller than I already am. Literally just saying 10%. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
And so then it's interesting to me that his answer is, I wish I was like 6'9", which implies to me
that he's already 6'6".
He's fucking massive. Yeah. This guy doesn't need to be any taller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I can get with Leoshi.
Oh.
Because she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine.
Okay.
Well, you know, I see her all the time.
That sounds, all of that's wrong.
Everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine.
Oh my God, hang on. This is just like a hard turn.
Caller, you were talking about being taller.
Having a rabbit in a hat.
And suddenly it's all like...
Although I must admit, he did talk about a girl who looked good, he would call her. So
yeah.
He did suggest this was coming.
But he was very general in the opening paragraph. I thought he was talking about any sort of girl who looked good.
Yeah, and
he
would call her. Specifically Loesha.
Specifically this girl, Leosha. Leoshi. Who I've been following around. I can't see over a fence because I'm only 6'6". all right, here we go. Everywhere I go and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Okay, firstly, even in your dreams, that is the easiest place to scheme a way to make her your own.
I think he's what he's trying to say is he obsesses over the scheme.
Okay. Because I know she's living fat.
P-H-A.
P-H-A-T.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball.
Oh, that's why he wants to be tall. He's jealous.
That's why he wants to be tall and that's why he wants to be able to play ball. Because he wishes he's a boy. I wish I was a little bit taller.
It's not baller as in...
No, I think it's quite literally... Basketballer. He wishes he was a basketballer. So is this a song by a guy who was like tall, but just not tall enough to be a really good basketballer?
Spud Webb.
Right. Lyrics by S. Webb.
You know, even better, Phil Smythe. I'd love to see Phil Smythe in the studio with his hood up and his bald head just bobbing away with his like hair growing out the back as he's just listening to the beat going, I think I got some lyrics for this. Yo, give me the mic. Yo, Andrew Gaze, chuck me the mic. Andrew Gaze chucks it and Leonard Copeland comes flying in and alley-oops it. There's a little NBL humor for all you NBL hardheads out there.
All right, so... Everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine because I know she's living fat, her boyfriend's tall, and he plays ball. So how am I going to compete with that? Well, the only way you can compete is to be a little bit taller.
A little bit of a ball.
And maybe have a bat and a rabbit in your hat. Because when it comes to playing basketball, here we go. Actually, I think we actually have judged stumbled him. Onto what is going on here.
Okay.
Because when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked. Right. So he's getting picked, but he's last to be picked. And in some cases, oh, hang on, I've gone too early. And in some cases, never picked at all.
He's an incel.
Because when it comes to playing basketball, I'm always last to be picked. And in some cases, never picked at all.
Oh, God.
So I just lean up on the wall or sit up in the bleachers with the rest of the girls who came to watch their men ball. So now it's him and all the ladies up watching everybody else play basketball. Dag y'all, I never understood, Black, why the jocks get all the fly girls. And me, I get the hood rats. I tell them skit skittle, skabobble.
All right, you're on a date. You're on a date with this girl. You think she's kind of cute. She's shy, but you agreed to go on this date and you sit down to dinner and the first thing she says is...
Scat, skittle, skabobble.
How quickly are you getting out of that restaurant?
Scat, skittle, skabobble.
I'm sorry. Are you having a heart attack?
I told you once. I will tell you again. Scat, skittle, skabobble. Got hit with a bottle.
Oh, no.
That's what happened.
Uh-oh.
He sat down to dinner with this girl. He's told her scat, skittle, skabobble.
She hit him with a bottle. Immediately called the police.
And I'd been in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
For talking that mess.
What does skit, scat, skabobble mean? Is that like a huge insult in some kind of...
Scat, skittle, skabobble.
Should I look up scat, skittle, skabobble?
I don't know. Yeah, okay, why not? You look up scat, skittle. This is very much the final episode of the year. We've got two Wikipedia pages going at once.
Scat, S-C-A-T, skittle, S-K-I-D-D-L-E?
No, scat, skittle, like the lolly. It's going to be problematic because it's like the lolly. And then scar, bobble. So like S-C-A, like the radio organization, and then bobble, like the head.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right, let's see.
That's, I imagine, if your name's Scat, Skittle, Skabobble, you've constantly got to be doing Scat, as in shitting on somebody, Skittle, as in the delicious lollies, and Scar Bobble, as in a bobblehead of somebody who was in a scar band.
Okay, so it says here, this I found a website called Lyrics Explained.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not that particular line. Someone says it's it's a forum, so this is not like by any scientific measurement. It's just people commenting. I always felt this song was a not-so-subtle criticism of communist regimes. The symbology draws on Western values that overcame oppressive anti-materialism, especially in a Cold War, post-Cold War context. It then becomes the optimistic anthem of an unrestrained world era. I must have missed something.
Okay, well, we're not done.
Okay.
Okay, so far it's just about a guy sitting in the bleachers... not being able to get on the basketball court to impress the girl that he's in love with. Now, this girl already has a boyfriend. But anyway, he's talking this scat, skittle, skabobble, ended up in hospital. I confess it's a shame when you're living in a city that's the size of a box and no one knows your name.
Yeah.
Well, you know what the thing is, though? Like, in a confined city, being smaller actually gives you more space. Like if he was taller, he might feel even more worse. Confined.
But if he was taller, he could be a baller. He could afford a bigger place.
That's a good point. Glad I came to my senses. Like quick got sick. Sick to my stomach. Overcometh by the thoughts.
Did he just write overcometh?
Overcometh.
Well, excuse me, Thor.
Yeah, overcometh by the thoughts of me and her together. Right. So when I asked her out and she said I wasn't her type, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a 6'4 Impala. I wish I had a brand new car. So far, I got this hatchback, and everywhere I go, yo, I gets laughed at. And when I'm in my car, I'm laid back. I got an 8-track and a spare tire in the back seat. but that's a flat. Oh, but that's flat. And do you really want to know what's really whack? I can't even get a date. So what do you think of that? Man, okay. So it's gone from a guy like kind of ringing up going, yeah, all bravado and like, I wish I was taller. I wish I was baller. Like this fantasy life that he's living. But what we're actually starting to realize is this is a dude who doesn't have a 6'4 Impala. He's driving around in his hatchback. He can't even get a date.
He's the Joker.
So do you I heard that prom night is a bomb night. By the way, this is a long song.
And there's
a lot going on in this song, right? It's going on a real journey. This is like, this is fucking
the War and
old
Peace.
School dubs, fucking, you know, Opus. Paranoid Android.
I mean, Bohemian Rhapsody.
All right. Oh, fuck, there's heaps to go. All right.
It can't be that long.
Mate, there is so much more of this song to go. I heard that prom night is a bomb night.
Yeah.
He's going to blow up the prom.
Yeah.
With the hood rats, you can hold tight.
Yeah, maybe if you stop referring to them as hood rats, I might go out with you.
But really though, I'm a Figaro. When I'm in my car, can't even get a hello.
Trust me, don't call them a hood rat. They'll say hello.
Well, so many people want to cruise Crenshaw on Sunday. Well, I'm going to have to get there in my car and go. You know, I'll take the 110 until I get to the 105.
Okay.
I mean, we don't need this don't level need, of detail.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Get off at Crenshaw to tell my homies, look alive. Because it's hard to survive when you're living in a concrete jungle. And those girls keep passing me by. She looks fly. She looks fly. Makes me say, my, my, my.
All right, not even trying now.
I'm going to skip the baller and taller, but that happens for a bit again because there is so much more of this song to go. Hey, I wish I had my way because every day would be a Friday. You could even speed on the highway. I would play ghetto games, name my kids ghetto names. Little Mookie.
Yeah, as promised.
Big Al.
Yep.
Lorraine.
Okay, I didn't realize that was a hood name.
Yo, yo, you know that's on the reel. So if you're down on your luck, then you should notice how I feel. Because if you don't want me around, see, I go simple. I go easy. I go greyhound.
What does that mean?
Hey, you, what's that sound? Everybody, look what's going down.
They sample that? Or is he
actually... Yes, ain't that fresh. Everyone wants to get down like that. And that's, yeah, I mean, it's just a song about... actually
wish
somebody wishes that they had a much better life than what they had.
On the song meanings, someone asks, I don't wish to appear stupid, but what does he mean by a rabbit in a hat with a bat? Is this a common slang term for something in America that we don't have in England? I'm struggling with the idea that along with my dream job, foxy girlfriend, classic car, etc., he wishes he had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
With a bat.
And is the rabbit in the possession of a baseball bat or cricket bat? Is that a story to share with the... Oh, but it doesn't matter. Anyway, so there's three replies to it. And right. They say... Bat is a reference to Bacardi, as in Bacardi bat, rabbit in a hat. Magic trick refers to a prostitute or a whore, someone who turns tricks.
Oh. Okay.
So he wants alcohol and sex.
Alcohol and, like, a sweet sex worker.
Yeah.
A rabbit in a hat.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, sex worker and booze. But then someone says, I don't think he meant that. I think he just threw in some words at Ryan.
either possible answers, I would say.
Now, Will, as a part of our final episode for 2020, we thought we'd look at some of the best movies and best TV shows, because I think that's what a majority of us did this year. Stuck at home, watched a lot of TV, a lot of film. But I was thinking about it. I feel like I watched a lot, but I can only remember a few. If you had to pick your best three TV shows this year, what would they be?
So hard to remember what this
exactly.
year...
Exactly. Like, where it starts and ends.
Watch so much stuff. It's ridiculous. But I would say What We Do in the Shadows was this year.
Yeah.
So that would have to be on the list because that got me through the early parts of the lockdown. I would say Ted Lasso's Come Home very fucking strong. I really loved that. What's my favorite like drama of the year? I've watched like so many dramas and quite a lot of things that I thought were good, but I just can't. I'm watching a thing called Your Honor at the moment with Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
And it's only 3 episodes in, but it's excellent. I'm really enjoying it so far.
I don't even know. The ones that stand up my mind that I remember getting excited about, I want to get home and watch this, is like Watchmen. I think that was this year.
Oh, yeah. Watchmen was
that was the first year? Show I got really excited. I remember being in a hotel in Brisbane. I don't know
if it was this year or not.
I think if it was this year. Well, I watched it this year. And it would have been January, February, because I remember being in a hotel and just like waiting for Gemma and the baby to go to sleep so I could watch it. That was the first one. Then I really, really liked Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun.
Uh-huh.
That show just goes, the first episode, you're like, oh yeah, I remember. But then it just rockets from there. It's such a great, and so rewatchable. You talk about shows you want to watch again. And then the last one I loved was the Harley Quinn cartoon. And I don't know if that was released this year either, but that's what I watched this year. And they were my top three.
The other thing that I should give a special mention to is documentaries about Nexium. Do you know Nexium? That like the sex cult in America that Allison Mack from Smallville was hooked up in. And there's this guy, Keith Raniere or whatever his name is. And he started this like what everybody thought
were
was like
the Fyre Festival documentaries this year?
No, I think that was last year. But yeah, there's two. There's one called Seduced.
Right.
And there is one called The Vow. And I watched both of them. One of them's 4 episodes and one's like 7 episodes or something. And there's more content to come about that because he's still like, you know, on trial and all these sort of things. So there's more docos. So yes, Nexium documentaries as a genre I'm going to put on my list.
Well, this is news.com's best 23 shows of 2020. I thought it was good to go to the local paper because that way we get some Australian inclusions. So Will, can you guess what the first entry is?
So as in the best, and is it an Australian show or just like...
Not Australian, but not American.
Oh, not Australian, but not American.
Oh, hang on, wait a minute. Which version is it? No, it's the American version. That gives you a hint.
American version of what we do in the shadows.
Yes, what we do in the shadows. Genuinely laugh out loud funny, the second season of the absurdist vampire comedy What We Do in the Shadows cemented the delights of the first season with even wilder episodes as Guillermo grappled with his vampire.
Guillermo.
Okay.
Come and put your neck in my mouth.
Number 2 was probably my 4th favorite show for this year.
Okay, but, give me a
another comic book series. Serious take on comic books.
The Boys.
Now, we had someone actually request that we do a wrap-up. I don't know how you feel about The Boys, but I was lukewarm on season 2. It took a long time to get going, but I love the end of it. So if you want to maybe do a bonus episode at some time on The Boys, I'd be happy to do a deep dive. I really liked this season, The Boys.
Yeah, I ended up liking it a lot more by the end of it. I found it a bit heavy going in the middle of the second season.
It really is.
Yeah.
It gets so dark at points. You're like, oh, I mean, I understand this is satire, but like, so that's...
Why is this satire so relentless? But also, have you not looked out the window? The world is also horrible. I need to escape.
They do. The amazing thing that I think they do is that Homelander, who is such a terrifying villain, they make just a hint of humanity to him. It's like, wow, like how did you do that? He's so relentlessly terrifying and repulsive the rest of the series. But then they just... say, well, you know what? When he was a boy, you know, this happened. And you're like, holy fuck. Yeah. It's such a, I love, and that performance too, I reckon.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Like just genuinely disturbing.
Yeah.
But charismatic. So, and like, you can understand why he is able to.
If Superman was a psychopath.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Or a sociopath.
And it is, it would be something that would be incredibly easy to get that performance wrong.
Yeah.
And he does not get it wrong in any way.
Okay. The next one is a show I haven't seen, but it's on Foxtel in Australia. It's sci-fi. A very famous...
The Ridley Scott one? Is it...
I don't know, but it's it involves the surname of a very famous fantasy novelist. You know, if you love your job, if you love what you do,
if I love my
your work, profession,
my job, my work, my
you know, if you do it by hand, you're often
you're a masturbator, you're a craftsman.
So if you love
craft,
yes, love craft.
Country. Lovecraft. Your clue for Lovecraft was if you love craft. Yes. Was not so much a clue as just saying the name of the show.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it, no.
No, it's another, so let's go past that. An ABC show starring two British... Oh, no, a show that's screened on the ABC starring two... it's an English show starring one Doctor Who.
One Doctor Who, David... Tennant.
Correct.
And
a British actor who's played opposite an American president. Someone playing an American president.
Yeah, I was going to say.
He also, in Australia, his cousin is a very famous cleaning product spokesman. Oh, Mr. Sheen.
Yeah, I got Sheen. Yeah, I was at Sheen. Oh, okay. That bit I had actually got.
I thought you were gonna say Mr. Muscle.
Is it Spray or White that you're talking about?
That's a good hip hop name, Spray and White.
Spray and White? We're Spray and White. We wish we were a little bit cleaner.
I couldn't get the words out. The words out of a car crash in the front of my mouth. The show's called Staged.
Did not see it.
It's so loose and improvisational, you swear it'd been improvised. The pandemic comedy is not a scripted series. The pair's dazzling screen chemistry shine in the 6-part show in which they play exaggerated versions of themselves. I'd watch that.
Okay, yeah.
I like both those actors. The Queen's Gambit. You seen it yet?
Loved it.
Okay.
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. Like, I know that there's, like... It probably could have been half the episodes and still told the story that it told, but I just loved the look of it. I loved being in that universe. I was just very happy to... I didn't want it to be
How
over.
How many YouTube parodies are we going to see where it's like Monopoly? You know, the Monopoly Gambit, the Cluedo Gambit.
Is it how many am I going to see? Because the answer is zero. But how many are there already? I imagine millions. Yeah. It's been very responsible for getting women into chess, I believe, but I just loved the look of it all. Like, it was just one of those things where you're like, and I kind of loved that, like, and I don't want to give it anything away for people who haven't seen it, but I love that there is actually an element of you getting to see the hero win. Like, so many things these days, you don't get to see... Like, you come in on Batman when Batman's having a fucking crisis of being Batman. Where you're like, it'd be cool just to see him like...
Just at the top of your game, mate.
Right. I just want to see that period of time where just week after week, he's like besting villains. That's what I want to see, a bit of that. And there's an element of... I liked about...
John Wick, basically.
About the Queen's Gambit, where like, yeah, there's some very John Wick moments at different stages in her chess journey where I'm just like, yes, I'm enjoying the fact that I know that you're going to just win these games.
Another show that you mentioned last week as being one of your favorites of the year.
Ted Lasso. It's great. It's really surprisingly funny.
Is that Louis C.K.?
No. Oh, tell you what though, the amount of fucking times when you're watching Ted Lasso, you'll be like, is that Louis C.K.?
Yeah, maybe it is.
Like, has Louis C.K. just lost a bit of weight and they've like put a beard on him and they've snuck him into Ted Lasso? He has a very... It's not. I looked up the actor for that very reason. Okay. I had that same panic attack. Because he even has a way of speaking and saying things that is...
What an unfortunate time to be incredible... To resemble...
Like, well, his name is actually Louis C.J. He's the next evolution.
This is a show called Small Axe. I imagine you haven't seen it.
No.
Because it's more a series of TV movies directed by Steve McQueen. Okay, we'll skip past that. Okay. This is a show I've heard is awesome, but I haven't seen it yet. I May Destroy You.
I have heard nothing but good things about that as well. So I'm looking forward to having a look at that.
All right, well, looking forward to nominating that as our best TV show of 2021. Yeah. Another ABC show, a locally made drama. I haven't seen it either, but I hear it's very good.
It was the...
If you were... Scooby-Doo and his friends would probably take this... take this turn off.
Take the turn off?
Take the turn off to this to, place.
The Haunted Mansion.
yeah, you're right. So I fucked it up. Mystery Road is what I'm talking about. But you're right. Like, that's dumb.
No, mystery. That's not a bad clue.
Yeah, it's just poorly delivered.
You could have done it like your other clue. If you love craft, you could be like, you know, say there was like a road where there was a mystery and you went down the mystery road.
A show I also haven't seen, Normal People. Have you seen Normal People?
I thought that was excellent. Incredible performances by the two leads. Him in particular, but both of the leads in that are incredible. And... yeah, I really, really liked it. Apparently it's based on a...
Is it Robert Pattinson?
No. Based on a book. But no, he's like a...
It's all these TV shows have stars who look like other stars.
He has this guy...
His name is Poppet Rattinson.
I don't know what his name is, but he's like started popping up in a bunch of things and right. He's going to be in everything because okay. he can really fucking act. He's really good.
This next show is one that Gemma loves. I tried to watch a few episodes, but to be honest, I got a bit bored, which is The Crown. I haven't seen any of The Crown, but I came in on season 3, the Lady Diana era, and I watched a couple episodes with Gemma, but I'm like, I don't find this interesting enough.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about The Crown?
I have not watched a episode of The Crown.
Yeah. Are you compelled to? It just doesn't interest me. I've never really been like, I understand, look, it's just the setting and it's not all like literal, but I'm like, yeah, I just don't care what the royals are up to.
No, I'm not checking in on what the royals are up to IRL. Like the royals, the series is still going. Like particularly now that they've really caught up to it. But you're like, you know what it is? I've been bored by the later episodes.
Yeah.
Because all I've seen is the stuff they haven't got to yet. Yeah. Old Queen and all this sort of stuff. Now they're kind of getting to the period of time I remember. Like, you know, Diana and stuff. And I was like, I didn't really pay that much attention to it when it was happening.
An Australian cooking show has entered the news.com.
Australian cooking show?
Yeah.
MasterChef.
Correct.
Had a very good year. I believe. Did not see an episode.
An Apple Plus TV show that I don't know anyone saw. And I even saw the ads and I'm like, I'm not sure. It stars a guy from Always Sunny.
You've probably seen
the ads for it. Mythic Quest, Raven's Banquet, a quirky workplace comedy set in a video game developer's office.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Like
it's
my
a terrible.
Every
marketing.
Time the ad comes on, my brain goes into like,
shut up,
shut up. I literally, I've seen that ad so many times, and I could not for $1 million have told you what it was for.
P-Valley, an unflinching drama about strippers working in the Mississippi Delta.
Have not seen it.
Have not seen it. Another Australian drama. I'll just tell you what it is. Stateless on the ABC.
Oh, yeah. Did not see it either.
No. A Good Place or The Good Place. You're a fan of that show.
Loved it.
Don't like it.
Thought it stuck the landing too.
Really don't like it. This show I have not seen and only just heard about, and it sounds really interesting. Do you know about Devs, D-E-V-S?
No.
Anyone who's a fan of Alex Garland's challenging work, Ex Machina and Annihilation, will find much to love and mine from Devs, a visually stunning and intellectually curious sci-fi series that questions a conflict between free will and determinism. It stars Sonoya Mizuno as a woman trying to discover what happened to her boyfriend and what their mysterious tech company boss, Nick Offerman, had to do with it.
Oh.
I like that. That sounds like my cup of tea. I like a bit of hard-edged bloody sci-fi.
I like Nick Offerman too.
I've never really watched Parks and Recreation. I can't work out what his deal is. Is he funny?
Yeah.
Right.
I think so.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where you have to, I think, buy into the idea that he is super funny.
Right.
And as soon as you buy into the idea that he's super funny, it's hard to see him as anything other than super funny. So I'll be interested to see whether I can sit down and watch him in this and not think
like,
that he's...
Do you remember when Glenn Robbins popped up in Lantana?
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like, I understand that Glenn Robbins is a performer and an actor.
He's a good actor, Glenn Robbins. And he was good in Lantana, but there's just a bit of you that is so trained to the idea of he's about to be funny.
Well, because he was right at the height of his panel
yeah.
like fame. And his whole thing in the panel was a dry aside, so it could be a very serious discussion, and then he would just do that kind of signature turn to camera and a dry little observation. So in Lantana, when, I can't remember what the scene is, but his wife telling him he's leaving, you're just waiting for him to just like barrel the camera.
Here he goes. Wait for it.
There you go.
Here we go.
What's his fucking...
Russell Coit's about to tee off.
His pants are about to fall down. You watch this. You'll get bitten on the dick by a baby crocodile.
What's Cal going to have to say about this one?
I've never heard of this show, 000.
Started watching it. Yeah. Found it a bit heavy going.
You'd hate to be up this without a paddle.
Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. I tried to watch the first episode. It wasn't my cup of tea.
Apparently, the first series is heavy. It's one of those classic... You can almost skip the first series shows, apparently. Have not gone there myself.
Your mortal enemy on the ABC.
My mortal enemy on the ABC. Bluey.
Bluey, that
fucking little animated dog. It's not just children
that love the delights of homegrown series, Bluey. That's
not overstate his appeal. It's mostly children.
Would probably watch Bluey even if their kids were not.
Yeah, well, you know why kids don't watch Gruen? Because they're too stupid. They don't understand the show. So what does it reflect on your show if it's for dumb little kids and not for grown smart adults, you bloody animated dog?
Each episode captures the wonder of play and imagination, all grounded in smart and relatable stories.
You know what I love about... Because this... My feud with Bluey...
It's all one-sided. They are not aware that you're not aware of them.
And only exists on this podcast.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like a broader feud that I have in society. It literally is a bit we do on this podcast about how much I hate Bluey. I've never seen an episode of Bluey. All I hear about Bluey is that it's absolutely fantastic. On the final episode of Gruen, we had the composer of the Bluey theme come on the show and do this thing where they like introduce the panel and we do this whole thing about it. And it was really fucking amazing, right? Whole time I'm like, hope they don't hear about my feud with Bluey. It was the first time I'd really worried about something from this podcast coming out. I was like, I hope I don't ruin this really good bit for Gruen by them finding out that I've been slagging off Bluey.
Have you heard of this show, The Good Fight?
The Good Fight. It is the spin-off of The Good Wife, which was a show that I very much enjoyed, and I am looking forward to watching a bit of The Good Fight because it stars a couple of my favourite characters from it, and I've heard good things about it.
Pen 15, which from the distance looks like Pen 15.
If you know what I'm saying. Pen 15.
Kooky, open and emotionally resonant, Pen 15's debut season was every bit as... Second season was every bit as charming cringe as its debut with the... I don't care. Tales from the Loop?
No.
About Swedish landscapes? It's documentary, whatever. Mm. And here they're on honourable mentions, so I'll just whip through these. Teenage Bounty Hunters, The Great. The Great's really good.
I watched a bit of Teenage Bounty Hunters, didn't mind it.
Perry Mason? What is this, fucking 1987?
There's been a reboot.
Oh, God.
A gritty reboot.
Oh, really?
I watched the first half an episode. Bored me a little.
Little America... The Plot Against America.
Little America was good. Kamal and Emily's show, but definitely Emily's show. But it was little vignettes of, you know, different people in the American experience.
Okay.
And of, you know, different cultural backgrounds done as sort of like, you know, short stories with... Anyway, it's really, really watchable. I liked it.
The Good Lord Bird, Better Call Saul, Who We Are in the Shadows. We Are Who We Are. I misread that. Salisbury Poisoning, Saved by the Bell?
Reboot.
What?
Reboot!
Honestly, shit, really?
Yep, starring several of the...
Is Mark Paul, John Claude, John Paul Gosselaar?
Gosselaar.
Is he back? NYPD Blues?
You know what? Let's just pause for a sec.
Screech is not back, is he? Is Screech in jail?
I think Dustin Diamond, or whatever his name is, had like... Didn't some shit go wrong with Screech?
Oh yeah, he's in prison, I believe.
Okay, let's pause for a second, and we will come back with more exciting Saved by the Bell news up next.
Podcast Mike, you should just put a Saved by the Bell theme in between the break for this. When I wake up in the morning and the lawn gets out of water, I don't think I'll ever make it on time. By the time I grab my books and I give myself a look, I'm at the corner just in time to see the bus fly by. It's all right.
Okay, even better than finding something about the reboot of Saved by the Bell. Well, this is related to the reboot of Saved by the Bell, but it actually answers the questions more of what we were interested in, because this is a news.com.au article from November 25th, 2020.
They deserve a credit for this episode, but we're not going to give it to them. Pay your taxes, Rupert.
Exactly. Pay your fucking taxes, you tax cheat. Exactly. And I don't mind that I'm downloading this fucking free information for my podcast. And I hope we make money out of it and we'll pay tax on that fucking money because we're better than you. Saved by the Bell reboot, colon, what original cast members are doing now?
Let's see if I can name them.
Okay. So we're talking about the blonde lead character.
Zach
something.
Is it a cool surname like Ryder or?
Yeah.
Zach Mitchell.
No. Oh, it starts with an M.
Zach. Is it like an McDonald? Is it Scottish? Is it Irish? Is it Zach?
It kind of is. It would be from somewhere around that
Zach
region.
Zach McGuire. That's me.
Zach. Zach Morris.
Fuck! It was Zach Morris. It was right there.
What was the name of the actor? Do you know?
John Paul Mark Gosselaar.
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Not Jean-Paul, Mark Gosselaar?
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Oh, that's not my fault for him having...
Landed his breakout role, Zach Morris, in 1989. He also led the gang into their next chapter, Saved by the Bell, the college years. When he said farewell to his character in 1994, he starred in NYPD Blue, Commander-in-Chief, and Mixed Dish. When NBC announced the reboot in 2020, Gosselaar signed on reprise his role as Zach Morris.
I also believe he's done an appearance on Fallon like recently where he dyed peroxided his hair and put on like 80s clothes and stuff and did the interview as Zach Morris.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so that's him. That's Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Okay. Well, he'd be the star power, right? Out of him or Mario Lopez would still be the most famous from that.
Okay. So at the time, there was a female lead who was pretty famous.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Wow, Charlie. Tiffany Thiessen.
Kimberly.
Okay, what was the character's name?
Kimberly? No.
Starts with a K.
Oh. Caitlin?
No.
Fuck. Kathy? Kookaburra. Casey? Casey? Kasia? Kasha? I don't know.
Kelly.
Kelly!
Landing the role of Kelly.
Loeffler. Loodle Leader. I don't know.
Kelly, what if somebody then, as their last name, they were trying to write Kelly, but they were one of the people who wrote captions on the animated Batman series? You know, sorry, not the animated Batman series, the animated Kelly, captions in
Kelly,
the old...
Kelly Powell. Powell.
Kelly Kapowski.
Ah, damn it.
Kelly Kapowski.
How can you forget that name?
On the popular sitcom, she was catapulted into worldwide fame. She was on the show the whole way through, including Saved by the Bell, the college years. Since then, she starred in Beverly Hills 90210. And in 1998, she was in the film Hollywood Ending. Eventually, she returned to television shows Fastlane and White Collar. Thiessen will also reprise her role in the reboot as a teacher. Now, you've already named the next one.
Mario Lopez. AJ Slater.
Mario Lopez was a household name before, during, and after Saved by the Bell. Since his days as AC Slater.
Oh, I said AJ. Fuck it.
He has been a actor in TV, film, and Broadway. He's currently the host of Extra and Accent.
He has stayed Hollywood. Remarkably famous. Like, cynicism aside, like, he's been famous as long as I can remember. Like, if I started taking note of pop culture when Saved by the Bell started, he's been famous a long time. That's hard to do.
Recently played Colonel Harlan Sanders in a movie made by the Lifetime Channel, which was kind of a KFC-sponsored...
Like a parody.
Kind of, but not really a parody. Done as like a... And so they did a sort
He played
of like,
Colonel Sanders, Mario Lopez.
Basically, it's this thing that KFC have sponsored. Like, it's this sponsored entertainment that Lifetime did. And it's one of those over-the-top old stories. And it's really like this rich family, and then like he's the cook who comes to... And then she falls in...
So it's a corporate sitcom.
She falls in love with the cook, and he's like, not the cook! He's got a secret recipe. You know?
Sounds awful.
Anyway, apparently it's wonderfully awful. Another big star at the time.
Oh.
Female.
Elizabeth Berkley.
Elizabeth.
Oh, I don't have no idea what her character. She was the plain one of the group, if I recall, right?
So she... What was the clue? Could be a boy's name or a girl's name?
Terry. I was going to say that. Terry, Charlie, Casey, Kelly. I know we're good at Kelly.
If she had
Margaret.
If she had a girlfriend and she was really hot, you might say...
She was bi? Or gay? She was a lesbian.
Oh, no. It was more like if you really fancied her partner, you might say,
let's have
I
a
wish that I...
Was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a baller.
I don't know. I wish
that I had Jesse's girl.
Jesse.
Jesse, if someone asked you if you wanted to get in the hot tub and you didn't want to, you might say...
The water's too hot in the hot tub.
Spa, no. Jesse Spa, no.
It's a much more succinct surname than the water's too hot in the hot tub. Jesse, the water's too hot in the hot tub.
She landed the role after starring in the film Frog in 1988.
I don't think... Yeah, right. Outside of Saved by the Bell and Showgirls, I don't know Elizabeth Berkley.
She went on to star in Showgirls.
Yeah.
The First Wives Club.
Oh.
And has appeared in CSI Miami and The L Word. She was recently published a New York Times best-selling book, Ask Elizabeth.
Okay.
I don't think you'll remember the final female cast member's name.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah, do you?
Yeah. African-American.
Yes.
She was like the earnest one. She's a bit of a nerd.
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to know it.
Okay, so you might say if somebody was... This is her real name, not her character's name, by the way. Her real name is... If somebody was having a lend of you, you might say, hey, are you having a...
Laugh.
Oh, close.
You having a lend?
Lark.
Lark.
So Lark Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees. That's cool.
Is her real name. Her character's
Lark
name.
Lark Voorhees is her real name. Just let that sink in for a second.
If Elvis's wife... Lark Voorhees is her real name.
Okay.
Her character's name, if Elvis's...
Priscilla.
Former... daughter.
Oh, yeah.
If Elvis's daughter married Donatello...
Lisa Marie Turtle.
Her character's name was Lisa Marie Turtle.
Wait a minute. Donatello's surname isn't Turtle. It's not Donatello. Turtle. It's just Donatello.
Did you get it or not?
I'm just saying.
Well, how do you know? They're the Teenage Ninja Turtles.
That's not their surname.
Why not? In the Smurfs, their surname is Smurf. They're like Papa Smurf and like Lady Smurf and whatever. So why can't their names in the turtle world be Donatello Turtle?
I mean, you might be right.
Right.
It'd be easy to send the mail. If they got a first and last name.
Right. I don't know which Donatello this is. Donatello Turtle.
Well, send direct to the sewer then. They just flush the litter down the toilet.
She starred on the show up until the end of the series and went on to star in Days of Our Lives, The Bold and the Beautiful, and In the House.
So they're all back, apart from Screech.
She doesn't seem to be back for the reboot. Neither does Elizabeth.
Oh, Elizabeth Berkley? No, she's definitely back for the reboot.
Oh, really?
I've seen her poster, her face on the poster.
Well,
They
haven't mentioned that.
Unsure of is Jean-Paul Marc Van Damme.
Okay, so, well, there's one, of course, that we need to get to. The big question before we had a little pause.
I know, as you're Googling that, the part of me is like, I hope it's not like a horrible ending.
I mean, I'm sure it is a horrible ending, but so what was his name in the show? It was Screech what?
Screech Skeletti or something like that.
No.
Oh.
More
mundane than that? It wasn't no alliteration.
More sounds very a bit more like super. He might be a superhero with this last name.
Screech Wayne? Screech Kent.
More literal.
Screech Green Lantern.
If you are a superhero, you might have
Screech
special
screech abilities.
So close, and yet abilities is not really a last name, but this one kind of is. That's the only difference between what you've said.
Screech
the
meaning, powers.
Screech powers.
Screech abilities.
You know, like the canary had screech powers. That was her. All the birds of prey. Many of the birds of prey had screech powers. What is his real life name?
That's Screech. A good deep cut for any DC fans out there. Well done, Will. Sorry,
what
did you say?
What is his real name?
Dustin Diamond?
Dustin Diamond.
So it's amazing that, so you've got like, what was her name? Lars and the Real Girl? No, Raven Von Clare?
Lark Voorhees.
Lark Voorhees and Dustin Diamond should be the characters' names. They are so much more memorable than Screech Powers and... Well, I mean, Lisa Marie Turtle's pretty memorable.
Mario Lopez is a pretty fucking cool name as well. They've actually all got... Pretty, well, even John Paul Mark Ringo Gosselaar. That's a pretty good name. Okay, so we've got...
They are good names. Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Elizabeth Berkley. They all kind of roll
actually,
off the tongue.
They've all got really great names.
Yeah.
Dustin Diamond played Zach Morris's sidekick.
Do you think they got cast because their names are good? Dustin Diamond. Look at it on the poster. Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
John Paul Mark Van Damme. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
They do all sound like stars.
Yeah.
Diamond starred in the show's predecessor, Good Morning, Miss Bliss. Did not know there was a predecessor. And also appeared in the show's spin-offs. Since the show ended, Diamond was in his fair share of scandals. In 2006, he directed and released his own sex tape, which featured himself and two other women, and I believe a particularly disturbing sex act. Anyway, it's not clean and something you might find at a Mexican lake place, the Dirty Sanchez.
I love the way you danced around it for 30 seconds and then just said it.
I got bored with trying to dance around it. Okay. Later he claimed that he used the body double.
Oh, good answer.
A few years later, Diamond released the book Behind the Bell, where he called out some interesting times on set, which upset a lot of his former castmates. The book included allegations that they mistreated him and had since been estranged from him.
Did he wish he was a little bit taller?
He wished he was a baller.
Which I was like, John Paul Mark Gosselaar. What if his name is?
In 2014, Diamond was arrested for stabbing a man in a bar fight.
That's what I remember.
And was sent to jail for 3 months.
Fucking hell.
That's okay though. 3 months. We can live with that.
Did he come out jacked?
Oh, I forgot that this person was in there. Leah Remini.
I don't remember.
Of course,
her.
Now famous for her debunking of Scientology.
She was in Saved by the Bell. I remember Mr. Balding. Mr. Belding.
She entered the show when they had a stint on the Malibu Sands Beach Club in season 3. She was Zach's girlfriend.
What were the character archetypes? So you had Zach, who was the jock. No. Slater was the jock. Zach was the heartthrob, I guess. Yeah. He was the schemer. He was like the Ferris Bueller, the smart, funny, good-looking one. Then you had the princess, that was Kelly. Then you had jock, AJ Slater. Bookish nerd, Elizabeth Berkley, I think.
I guess she was meant to be.
Yeah. I mean, she's still like tall and gorgeous and beautiful. And then nerd was Jason Voorhees. Turtle, Lisa Marie Turtle, was the nerd, I believe. Like, she was the Glee Club.
I guess
nerd,
so.
I think. Yeah. And then Screech
was the super geek. Nerd. Yeah.
Because it was against the law to have a sitcom in the 80s and 90s and not have a geek character. It was called the Urkel Agreement.
A famous star of that era dated Screech in the show. It played Screech's girlfriend.
Oh, Elizabeth Berkley.
No.
Lisa Marie Turtle.
No, we're talking about someone who
guested.
Who guest starred as Screech's girlfriend.
And she's famous now?
She's still holding on to being famous now, but she was super famous at the time.
Oh, right. Oh, at the time. Mm. Oh.
Well, at...
90s famous?
90s famous. Super famous.
And she was a teenager at the time?
She was a kind of teenager, early 20s, like, you know, that era.
Who
she
the
was
fuck would it
famous
be?
For being young.
Not as...
And she kind of invented...
Drew Barrymore?
No. She invented a bit of a, like people like Paris Hilton and the Kardashians and stuff wouldn't exist, I don't think, without this person. Even though this person wasn't quite as good at that stuff.
Who was it?
Tori Spelling.
Fucking Tori Spelling. She was, did her dad produce that show?
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's your Saved by the Bell news.
All right. Let's get to our last bit of email for 2020. This is some stuff I've been putting off for a number of weeks while you ran Macho Fop. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go to our website, tofop.com. There's a little contact form on the splash page. And while you're there, why not check out some of our other great podcasts? Will does one called Willosophy, which is much more successful and much more highbrow than this. Who's on this week, Will?
Craig Coombs, who, you know, the work of Craig Coombs. Incredible guy. I did the 100th episode of Willosophy with him, and he obviously, he had been given a death sentence a good while ago now, you know, and fit a lot into his life and talked about that in the 100th episode. Well, the end of his life is nearing rapidly. And so we had another chat about that and what it's like to be staring at your final days and, you know, what you're living for and what you hope happens next. So it's a pretty emotional episode, I will say that, but an incredible episode. And I felt very grateful to be able to do it with Craig. So, and a whole bunch of really cool episodes coming up. I've been recording a whole bunch of them so I can have a little break in January from recording, but I've done pretty much enough episodes to get us up to the end of January.
Two Guys, One Cup is going a little break over Christmas, but you can still listen to the latest episode with Adam Zwar, who was born in like northern Queensland, but barracks for Carlton and is so knowledgeable about the game, and tells a story about meeting Wayne Dominator Johnson, his boyhood hero, that is hilarious. We're taking a little break and we'll be coming back with Alex Williams in the first week of January. And who's on FOFOP?
Oh, Gareth. The final episode of FOFOP for the year as well. And Gareth Reynolds is on. And obviously, as everyone knows, hilarious as usual.
So that's all at tofop.com. And if you want to support the show, there's a link to our Patreon on the website as well. That helps us out a lot.
A lot, yeah. No, I mean, it's been incredible this year. And, you know, Charlie and I are now hopefully going to be, you know, in the same place for a while. And we're looking at a whole bunch of different things we want to do with the show. But none of that would have been possible without the incredible support that you guys have shown us during this year. So thank you very much. And, you know, here's to an even bigger 2021.
And sign up and check out all our great bonus content. Been sending out some signed tour posters. We don't, it's open to, it's free to everyone. Like you can donate whatever amount you want to Patreon. But for the extra generous ones, people who put in $20 or more, you get a signed TOEFOP poster. I think there was around about 500 when we signed them. You gave them to me. I was like, oh, it seems like there's a few posters. So plenty to give away. If you don't have the money to give in now, but you think you might one down like it down the line, then just upgrade your Patreon membership to $20. You'll get yourself an authentically signed TOEFOP tour poster. But this is from Sebastian. He says, hi guys, got a bit of a heavy subject, but what are your views on fate or free will? Do you think everything happens for a reason or everything is just a random occurrence? There's a short story by Ted Chiang called What is Expected of Us that's heavily influenced my thoughts on this. It's maybe a page and a half if you want to check it out sometime. It's pretty rad. If you guys do decide to read this out, I'm sorry in advance for having such a heavy subject. Not everything can be as funny as using your balls as a bungee jumping cable. Cheers, Sebastian. I don't think that's particularly heavy. Fate versus free will?
Well, I mean, I think I err on the kind of idea that it's a bit of both, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, there
certain things conspire to lead you in a certain direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about free will in the idea of, you know, if somebody is born in certain circumstances, like their capacity for free will is limited by the circumstances they are born into, the way they might be raised, the, you know, privilege they have in the society that they live in, like the environment they live in, the individual circumstances where they just happen to, you know, like there is so many things that are predetermined in a way that you can't do anything about. But then I think you have some agency over your own life as well.
I think that's the best attitude to have, because what you're doing there is you're acknowledging both influences, but you are not leaning on one as being the sum total for your circumstances. You know what I mean? You have to be aware of where you've come from and what you're dealing with, but you can't sort of, you've got to be aware that there's also stuff that you can do to change.
Well, I guess there's that idea that, you know, if there's a free will, if there is no such thing as free will, right? Mm. If everything is, you know, because of, you know, our fate and our circumstances, then Probably it does. It's a depressing and fatalistic way to look at life if you think it's completely that, if you don't think you have any agency over your own decisions. But so often you see yourself because of your genetics, because of your programming, because of all these things, your monkey brain, you know, doing things that you're like, intellectually, I cannot understand. I don't feel like I have chosen to behave in the way that I'm choosing right now. So I don't think that, sometimes there is no free will per se in those situations.
Eckhart Tolle has a little bit of advice that has stuck with me, which is about when you get into sort of obsessive thinking about sort of your circumstances or something you want to change. And he sort of gives you just like a very binary option, which is if you know what the problem is or you know what the thing is that is occupying your thoughts, like make a change, like activate something, make a change, or choose to forget about it, accept it. But there is no point in sitting that middle ground. And it's kind of this very simplistic, but I find it to be quite helpful if something is kind of taking up time. It's like, well, just fucking make the call. I'll just take care of that thing. Just get that done so you're not thinking about it anymore. Or accept that it's never getting done, which tends to be like chores, housework, things like that. And, you know, you just let it go. Don't think about it anymore.
As I believe Eckhart Tolle said, and also Elsa from Frozen, let it go. Let it go.
Brooke got in contact. Questions for Adam Hills, a.k.a. Will. Good start?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm a bit tired now, isn't it?
Well, you know what the funny thing is? I think I've leaned back into it.
Okay. I used to annoy you like David Hasselhoff. You got annoyed, now you're embracing who you are.
I feel like I am. I feel like so many people get joy out of that joke that I am now at the point of, I'm Russell Crowe's One Heart at a Time about me and Adam Hills. We've been making a lot of jokes about it on Gruen. Like we talked about his ad that he did for Australia where he's got the beard and like I just came off the back and went, like, firstly, I look great with a beard. You know, like we're doing the jokes now. The other night he was plugging the Spicks and Specs special and I was like, I had a great time taping this. Like I'm just really like running with it now. And it seems to bring people joy. So who am I to deny them that?
Hey guys, found out tonight that Spicks and Specs is coming back next year. Since everything is making a comeback or a reunion, do you think Glasshouse will ever do something like this? Thank you and all the best for Christmas.
It'll be 20-year anniversary of Glasshouse, I think on August 19 or something like that. I wrote it down the other day, what the 20-year anniversary of us starting doing that show is. So it's next year. So I would love to do something.
When do you like a live show or something? Do something different.
I mean, Corinne's a lawyer.
Do it in a brick house.
Corinne's a lawyer, you know, like with a family.
Doing a courthouse.
Or maybe just literally in a glass house.
Yeah, like with plants and shit?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. In my attic.
All sweating. Surrounded and stuff. By hydroponic your makeup running equipment. Off. Butterflies keep landing on your nose.
It would be very interesting because I think that probably more than any other show I've done, we've all gone off in really different directions since then and done a whole bunch of really different things. So the idea of getting back together and seeing what was there is very interesting to me. At the very least, I'd like to get them both on my podcast or something like that to celebrate it.
Is a glass house like a prison for a plant? Like you think about it, they're in this case where they're getting all the sunshine and they're getting watered, protected for the elements, but they can't grow wild. Is that some kind of like devil's bargain that those plants have made?
I don't think so. I think they're happy to be indoors.
You reckon?
Well, we all live we all live in houses.
But you can't send your...
We could just walk in the wild.
You can't send your roots out.
Have you been outside?
Spurt your spores and stuff like that.
Don't care. Look at this fucking crib I live in. It's like awesome.
With like 300 other plants, not even of your variety.
I'm shooting my spores all over them. Having a great time.
You disgusting.
And this hot house orgy. You're I don't gross. Know what you're talking about out there in the elements. It's like windy and rainy and like birds peck you and shit. That's bullshit, man.
Alex, g'day, Cobbers.
I will say, I think it would be a great time for a some sort of hilarious ABC panel show that had comedians on it and was, I think it would be the perfect time for something like that. You're absolutely right.
G'day, Cobbers, long-time teabagger, first time to FOPespondent. Just received my TOFOP 100 Patreon perk. Feels like Christmas came early. On the subject of Christmas, it seems more and more shows are dipping their toes into the lucrative-themed board game market.
Okay.
Thus, my question, if you were to launch a TOFOP board game, what would some key aspects be? How would you win? What TOFOP tropes would be covered? Bonus points, how much money would you lose per unit?
Yeah.
A lot.
You've passed go. Charlie's thought of a new way to raise money. You lose $200.
I think one non-negotiable, we will be slowly rotating Kathy Bates in the center of the board. I think you'd have some fun with this. I immediately thought of Mousetrap. If you ever watched the ads for Mousetrap, it seemed like really fun, and you know, there's like balls right going in ramps and stuff. But anytime one of your mates had it, you're always missing a piece. You could only half build like the bucket and the slide and all that kind of stuff. That's what the TOEFOP board game should be. Like, we make a great 30-second ad where it looks awesome and there's lots of things that go whiz and Kathy Bates that spins around. But when you get it, it's already broken. It makes no sense. The pieces don't fit.
What about, here's what I'm thinking we could easily do. TOEFOP against humanity.
Yep, that's
easy. So everybody has their cards, like Cards Against Humanity style. And somebody's got like the TOEFOP premise. And then you have to complete with, like, on your card.
What we said.
So I've got time, like, you know, I am traveling back in time with, and then you've got to put down the card that best suits the TOEFOP rip that would have happened.
That's exactly it. And that takes care of the tropes. Brilliant. There you go. Mm. Let's see how much money we can lose on that.
Heaps when we get sued by Cards Against Humanity.
This is from Meryl. Do you think it's Meryl Streep?
Streep?
Probably.
How well written was the letter?
We'll see. I believe... Oh, hang on. No, I forget it. It's a macho fop. Okay. Sorry.
Too late, Meryl.
Too late, Meryl. Okay, this is from Sarah. Hey, guys. Just wanted to email you after hearing your podcast Mike t-shirt head-turning moment. So for those of you who didn't hear last week, podcast Mike debuted his head-turning outfit, which turned out to be a bit of TOEFOP merch. And if you'd like such merch, you should just go to redbubble.com. You can find James Fosdyke's page there. Plenty of TOEFOP merch.
Really cool stuff. Good presents for yourself.
Mike's genuine excitement over his TOEFOP t-shirt was great. I expressed the same excitement when I finally purchased mine. I opted for the Paper Beats the Rock shirt, thinking people might see this not only as a great joke, because it is, but also show my love for TOEFOP. Much like Mike's non-head-turning moment, mine went down without much fizzle. My friends and family were sufficiently confused and concerned when I wear this shirt out. Not only do I have to describe what is happening to The Rock, which, as we know, only makes jokes funnier, but why I bought it. I love it lots, but my husband has respectfully asked me to stop wearing it in public as he cringes when I try to describe this podcast. You know what? Sarah, I cringe when I have to describe this podcast, and I'm on it. Much like he asked me to turn TOEFOP off when I'm listening to it in the car. Yeah, don't listen to it in the car. I mean, even really good podcasts, it's hard to make your partner listen to because it's such an acquired taste. Even like the NPR ones, unless you've clarified with them that this is what I'm going to listen to, no one wants to hear your podcast, I don't feel like.
I also think that if you think the podcast is funny, you suddenly realize how many gaps between it being funny there are when you're listening to it with somebody else.
Yeah, especially if you've heard it before. Despite this negativity, my brother-in-law recently let me know he's been listening to some toe fop. All since Will's part in the Little Dum Dum Club's Masked Pegged.
So the Little Dum Dum Club did a
Masked Pegs.
Yes. So they did a competition called the Masked Pegger. Now, I'm going to get you to speculate because I listen to the podcast, so I know exactly what's going on. You don't, so you don't know what's going on at all. So if I tell you that another podcast ran a competition for weeks where they got the audience to identify who the masked pegger was, what happened? What is that competition and what happened?
So are they running it on the show?
On the show.
Are they nominating celebrities? Like, so do they nominate a celebrity and say which one of these is pegging someone? Is it
okay? So, So it turns out that Tommy's been talking about ages that 2020 might have been the year where he and his girlfriend they talked about pegging, and whether that they would try.
I would never have gone.
So it's a no. I realize that, and that's why I've jumped in with the explanation. I was like, this is going to take too long. Brought it up early in the year that he and his girlfriend had been talking about the idea that they might try pegging, and it became a bit of a, like, you know, a running conversation about whether they'd done it, and then they kind of got to the point where they decided they probably weren't going to do it.
Right.
But Carl was disappointed by this.
Yeah.
So he got a person who had appeared on the Little Dum Dum Club to make a, like, version of their own penis to try to encourage this to happen, right? Like that if it was going to happen, would happen with
a mold.
A mold of one of the previous guests on the podcast. And then they ran a competition for people to guess. So they did a series of clues, Masked Singer style, where right. there were these like, you know, you had to try to guess who it was. And then they did a reveal
did
episode.
Did you see the penis? Or the mold?
It got described. It was there. So like each week it would be part of the conversation and people would talk about it and they would describe it and they would guess who it was and these sort of things. So anyway, they did a reveal episode and they did a false reveal where I claimed it was me and had convincing arguments for why all the clues led to it being me. And it was the best thing about it was the reveal. Like So Josh Earl and Brett Blake, I think, are on the episode, right? And so they don't know. They just know that the person who comes up on screen next is the person who it was, or supposedly the person who it was. And so I come up and they start losing their shit. And then I play along for like 5-10 minutes, right? So what I, of course, got was so many people messaging me on Instagram or Twitter immediately when they heard it was me without having listened to the next 10 minutes. And then about 10 minutes later, messages from people going, oh. Because literally so many people were just like, I can't believe it's you. I can't believe that you did this. And then like 10 minutes later, oh yeah, I listened to the next 10 minutes.
Sarah finishes by saying, I finally became a Patreon this month. Thanks for all you do and can't wait for more eps. You got me through the year with all your mindless ramblings. Love your work. From Sarah, not a doctor, but a teacher.
Yep, happy to have a teacher on board. And happy that my fine work pretending to be the masked pegger has brought another listener to the show.
This is from first name Anoni, surname Mus.
Mus, okay. Of the Mus family.
Thank you. I wanted to write and simply say thank you. This year has been shit for way too many reasons. With a lot of downtime this year, I've managed to listen to over 150 episodes of TOEFOP and ventured into other pods of the TOEFOPiverse, even unearthing some of Charlie's old That's Awesome. You guys talking shit while I go on with my day and with my headphones on has become a form of therapy for me. I know you guys have done these pods for myriad, I'm just going to do a bit of editorializing, for myriad reasons.
Oh.
Over the years, obviously not because they are highly lucrative, but I would like to know you to know that it has really meant something to me this year. So thank you. Well, thank you. I echo your sentiments to all my favorite podcasters out there. And there's a bunch out there. It is very comforting, and I feel like I have like friendships with these people, even though we don't actually talk to them.
And yeah, I recently needed to get my head in a different space, particularly around performing, and I was starting to worry that I was, you know, like I had a conversation with somebody who literally said to me, I was like, oh yeah, I just don't know when I'm going to go back and do shows. I still feel like really hesitant about it all, blah, blah, blah. And they literally just said to me, mate, everyone else is back. You are the only person who has decided not to come back. And I'm not ready to do that quite yet, but I've started the process of trying to get my head ready for that. And there are certain podcasts, Pete Holmes's You Made It Weird, I always find, because it's a lot of time it is with comedians who I really love, but they're talking about life and it starts to get your creative process going. Stuart Goldsmith's Comedians Comedian Pod, I absolutely love. I've dipped back into WTF. I've even listened to a couple episodes of Tim Ferriss's podcast. I find him a bit, he's just not quite my taste, but he gets some great people on the podcast and they have interesting conversations. The Jerry Seinfeld one was super fascinating. So if I end up doing a whole bunch of shows next year, like I should say a genuine thank you to some of those podcasts that have kind of got my head back in the game.
And there's one podcast in particular we should take a moment to talk about, which is The Weekly Planet.
Yes.
Mr. Sunday Movies, James and Nick Maso Mason. We've been part of Planet Broadcasting for almost four years now, and it's been fantastic. But we made a decision about 2 months ago that TOEFOP, now that we have our Flash website and we're doing a lot more shows now. As Will mentioned, the Patreon has enabled us to be more productive this year. We've decided that we want to stand on our own 2 feet. And so, you know, we spoke to Claire and James and everyone's very cool.
They were amazing.
Absolutely no bad blood. We just sort of felt like we wanted to take everything back under the TOEFOP umbrella. And so we'll be on our own next year. But still, very strong relationship with Planet Broadcasting.
Well, we love those guys. Yeah. Love what
we're fans before we even joined the network.
And love their shows. The Weekly Planet's still just one of the best podcasts in the world, as far as I'm concerned. But like, they've curated, you know, an incredible world of their own there.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, kind of do a version of that ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, much more just with the stuff that we do in our world, like a kind of mini version of that. But they have been nothing but, firstly, amazing about the fact that it was the right thing and the right time for us to do it. But then to follow that up with so much great advice around what we could do and how potentially it would work. And yeah, they've just been amazing and we couldn't have more love for them and the time that we've spent as part of their network. It's just, we only had one podcast out of all our shows that wasn't in the same place, and it just made everything more difficult for us to be able to do some of the things that we want to end up doing. So yeah, absolutely no bad blood at all. And in fact, I look forward to having all those guys, you know, on the shows that we're making as well. So
we're still going to have a relationship. We'll still be doing crossovers and stuff. But as for now, we're on our own. And I remember, because we often, we'd have periodic meetings, me, you and Sam, where we talk about what we're going to do with the show. And about a year ago, we were sort of talking about where we're at with Planet Broadcasting. And I remember you saying, the reason we need to stay there is they're just cool. It makes us look a bit cooler, you know, by standing in their shadow. And it's like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We felt like we were part of the cool group for a period of time. Thank you for letting these old men.
Well, there was a touch of that though. Like we were the
Mr. Beldings to their Saved by the Bell.
I feel like they're going to be a bit cooler now that we're not there.
Yeah, exactly.
We were taking a little bit of their cool away, I think.
We're the dude at every teenage party you go to. This guy who's just a little bit too old to be there. Standing there. Mate, is he hitting on the girls? That's a bit weird.
Are Will and Charlie just here to buy us beer?
Yeah. Did I ever tell you about the time we started our podcast?
Yeah.
2010, man.
Yeah, okay, man.
Always talking about the glory years. You know, back then there was like three podcasts. It was Kevin Smith, Joe Rogan, and us. And we're still here, man. We're still here. Yeah, but Joe Rogan's a multimillionaire.
Yeah.
Well, if we hadn't thrown
Smith's
our back
like
out
a multimillionaire.
If we hadn't thrown our tonsils out back in 04, we could have gone anywhere. All right, so this letter from Anonymous finishes on a positive note. This year has just started to turn around a little for me as my wife and I have found out we're having our first baby. We haven't told our folks yet, hence why my name is Anonymous, but I'm so excited to have to tell someone. And of course, having been smashing Charlie's other pod, Dad Pod, in preparation, so I should be all set as a father. Wish me luck, guys. You got this, man.
Good luck, man.
It's very cool. And how exciting. Hopefully, you know, I don't know if she's coming around Christmas time, but you might have the Messiah on your hands.
I mean, lower your expectations.
No, I'm just saying. Could happen. All right, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Tofop this year. We've gone on about it, but your support has been amazing. And, you know, part of the reason we're able to be so productive this year, and we want to keep making more stuff. So enjoy your break.
It's been amazing. Like, I mean, I know, yes, we have said this before, but I think it's worth saying again, which is in this dumpster fire, is the popular parlance of a year, but like, it's been a really hard time. And, you know, it's probably been as beneficial to have this to be able to do as it has, like, hopefully it has been for the people who've been listening to it as well. So I want to say, you know, not only I hope that you guys have got something out of it, but I certainly know that this is my favorite. I think this is probably, of all the years that we've done the show, this is probably my favorite year. I just feel like the things we've talked about, the fun I've had, the way that I've looked forward to it this year, like it never felt like, even when we had to squeeze it in, it never felt like something that we were just squeezing in at all this year. And so it's been really great. And I'm really excited about the opportunity in 2021. Like, you know, the fact that we're, you know, closer in proximity to be able to create stuff together. And, you know, we want to do some live work once, you know.
We can.
Everyone's back out there, mate. Little Dum Dum Club did a fucking live podcast in Melbourne on the weekend.
I mean, pandemic or not, it is funny how when you actually sort of concentrate and put energy into something, sometimes it can work.
Yeah, and we can only do that with your support, because the only way we can justify the time we spend on it to our partners is if it at least pays for itself. Yeah. So patreon.com/tofop is the place to go to support that.
I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.